y'all to be out here. We're glad that y'all are here tonight. Before we get into the Word of God, we'll be finishing up our studies that we started last week in Psalms 39. But before we get there, we got a small matter of church business we have to care for. And I have a motion to move into a business meeting, please. Brother Bill Spencer, second. Brother Jason Simon, all in favor? Any opposed? Okay. Brother Hector, we ask the Lord to bless us as we handle church business.
Father, we ask the Lord that any blessing will be found, Lord, that you let this meeting that we're about to have, Lord, and that we can do that for the sake of the Lord,
Okay, January 9th, we had our annual church business meeting. Motion to enter was made by Brother Ethan, second by Brother Deal. Open prayer by Brother Scott. I read the minutes of December 9th. There was no questions, except it is read. Made motion by Brother Scott, second by Brother Beal. Carried, none opposed. I read the financial reports for general admissions. There was no questions. Motion to accept was made by Brother Jason, second by Brother Ben. Carried, none opposed. Set the fair market value of the parsonage at $800 a month. Motion was made. Who made that motion? I forgot. Brother Price, I think, was you? No? All right, and I have a motion to set the... Yes, was you, Brother Ethan? Brother Ethan did, Sister Barbara. It's blank here. Brother Ethan made the motion, second by Brother Jim. The motion passed. None opposed. We discussed buying an AED. We have five that are trained on the AED machine now. It is posted back here on this side in the back corner. So if you fall over with a heart attack, point that away. And those that are trained and run and get it, and come shock you real good and get you in order. It is near the nursery and near the Discovery Club building. So there it is located in the back. Was motion made by Brother Scott, second by Brother Paul. The monies was deposited by the county for taking of the front property, $1,709,000 to be placed in the CDs. Motion to do so was made by Brother Jim, second by Brother Burgo. The roofer is working on getting permits to re-roof the north and south Butler buildings, and made a motion to go ahead and just do both of them. The motion was made by Brother Jim, wasn't he, Brother Jim? And second by Brother Ethan. There was no other business and carried as such. And then I made a motion that we hire an electrician on January 30th to put lights in the gym building. They will be starting, Lord willing, next week for $9,500. And to also move the air condition from the building they're going to be taking over to the gym building. That motion was made by Brother Stacy, second by Brother Victor. Any questions on the church minutes? No questions. Let me get real quick to the financial report. We had a beginning balance of $26,066.71 with the deposit of the Orange County check for $1,709,900. General tithes and offerings was made $14,676. Designated admissions was given for the month of January $1,233. Designated scripture press was given to $7,492, leaving us a total balance in the checkbook right now. The deacons are looking into moving the monies over to a CD while we're using it, of a $1,737,498.59, giving us known liabilities of payroll, missions, and other camp liabilities of $12,254.78, with net operating capital of $1,725,243.80. That's the financial report for the general. The missions is beginning balance $4,485.95. We made a deposit of $6,271 into the missions account, leaving us an ending balance of $10,756.95. Any questions concerning the financial report for the church, January missions, or general? A motion to accept is read. Jason Simon, second. Benjamin Stockton, all in favor? None opposed? All right. New business tonight. Talked with the deacons about the flooring over in the gym, and we found a good estimate. We're asking the guy to do some work in the kitchen area and the two bathroom areas for $2.79 a square foot, and that comes to a total of $3,699.54. We want to see his work, and we want to see the product before we do the entire gym. So if there's no questions concerning this, this will be done by Osceola Installation Incorporation. Any questions? Can I have a motion to accept this bid? Brother Jim, second. Brother Paul Bentley, all in favor? Any opposed? Okay, none opposed. Last order of business so we can get into the Word of God. Several months ago, we presented the church with the cure that the county gave us to fix when they four-laned the church property. They gave us their cure. Now it's our turn to rebuttal and give our cure. And after much prayer and talking and conversating with the deacons and the men of the church, we'd like to present to the church that we part of our cure, as we present it to the county, is that we keep 2,100 square feet of the building out front for a ministry that is going to be used down the road, either woman's ministry, Haven of Hope, battered women, Lord knows what else could be used. But right now, we just want to present that we want to keep the 2,000 square foot of that building up front, the big one. The other two are gone. They're going to tear them down. Any questions concerning like what I'm wanting to present to the church? And I have a motion to keep to present that to the county as part of our cure. Brother Ethan, second by Brother Bill Spencer. Any questions? All in favor? Any opposed? None opposed. Any more business? I have a motion to end this business meeting. Brothers Chucky. Second by Brother Bill Spencer. All in favor? Praise God, we're done with that. Psalms 39. Psalms 39 tonight. Good to have visitors with us tonight. Sorry you had to sit through that there, but it's just a portion of the church work we had to get done. But we're glad to be here. We had a good time in the youth zone. And good to have visitors ride the bus tonight. Coming to the Bible studies, Bible clubs we had. And so we're going to pick up on Psalms 39, Psalms chapter 39, read it again, and then we're going to go back and catch up where we're at real quick and then get us down to finish with this tonight. Psalms chapter 39, verse 1, the Bible said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was not was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely, every man walketh in vain, in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. If you read that and underline and mark and get into scribbling and writing in your Bible, you'll notice there's a whole bunch of personal pronouns. I, mine, me, mine, I, mine. All these here. And remember last week I told you it was all about me. It's all about mine. The psalmist is writing and taking ownership of things. As you look there, like in verse 1, he said, my ways. Well, Isaiah 55, 7 through 8 tells us that we should take his way, the Lord's way, not my way, because my way many times is selfish and isn't prudent in the choices that I make. And sometimes my way causes a conflict with the way of the Lord. And so we should choose the Lord's way. And that's the way we should do it. He said, verse 1, he said, you notice there, my tongue. Well, James tells us that no man can bridle it. We don't want to depend upon our tongue. We really don't. Remember a couple of weeks ago, the old church sign, it was said there on the church sign, it said, don't use a gallon of words to give a teaspoon of thought. And that's how we are. I mean, we need to learn to bridle it. The tongue is a small element of the body, but it can get us in all kinds of trouble. And then verse 1, it also said, my mouth. Well, we looked at Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. It says, let my words be acceptable unto him. Too many times we're wanting to please men. We want our words to be pleasing to men and to those that are around us. We should allow ourselves to be, our words to be acceptable unto the Lord. The Bible says in the New Testament over in 1 Corinthians, says, whether present or absent, let me be acceptable of the Lord. And so that's how we should look at it. Not my mouth and what comes out of it. The Word of God tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we need to make sure that the things we speak are not idle words, and you know, and they're useful for edification. Then in verse 2 it said, my peace. And my peace, I'm going to tell you, dear friend, we need to forget our peace. Our peace is like an emotional shipwreck. I mean, we need the Prince of Peace. We need the peace of God that passes all understanding, because we're an emotional creature. We're up, we're down, we're up, we're down, we're up, we're down. We need something that is stable. And Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. So my peace, it's not going to last too long. Then verse 2, it talked about my sorrow. My sorrow. You know, in 1 Peter, it told us last week that in verse 4, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, that we, as God's people, as the children of God, we will suffer. It's a good thing to suffer in the sufferings of Christ, and we would. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there is going to be sorrow in life, but that sorrow should never, ever rob us of the joy of the Lord. Never. Rejoice, again I say, and rejoice. That is where we're supposed to. My sorrow should not overwhelm me in such because I have the joy of the Lord. And then in verse 3, it said, my heart, my heart. Well, Proverbs 4, verse 23 said to keep our heart with all, what? Diligence. He said, listen, the heart is wicked above all. Who can know it? The things that my heart desires, dear friend, many times will waver and move and be contrary to the settled will of God for my life. So we need to keep our hearts with all diligence and allow God to guide us and direct us there. Then verse 4, it said there, let me know my end. Verse 4, my end and measure of my days. There, you know, there's coming a time, dear friend, where we're going to die. It's appointed a man wants to die. Unless the rapture takes place, and I'd sure like to go that way. But if not, there, you know, it's just appointed unto thy, Lord, help me to know my end and the end of my days. And Lord, let me die in your righteousness, not self-righteousness. And so we need to mark our days and know our days and live in days. And listen, to be honest with you, our days are numbered and we don't know the end of the number. You know, I'd like to say that, you know, I'm going to live to be 82 years old. My dad died at the age of 44. You know, I don't have that promise of tomorrow, so I need to live in the righteousness of the Lord today. So if I do go home to be with the Lord, I have nothing to be ashamed of. I'm living in His righteousness there. And, you know, then Psalms 90, verse 10 says we should number our days, you know, and know that we're limited, number them. And my age, verse 5, it talks about my age there. My days, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. You know, and I mentioned to you last week that as age comes about, the product of age, dear friends, should be wisdom. We shouldn't be, you know, 60, 70 years old doing some foolish things that we see some of our seniors doing, you know, going off and thinking they're 20 years old again. Well, so I'm going to tell you something, men. You cannot handle a 20-year-old woman. She only wants your money. Wake up. With age comes wisdom. I'll leave it at that. You know, get God's wisdom. Verse 5 is where we're going to pick up again tonight. Verse 5, we're going to move on pretty quick, so bear with me. We already talked about my age before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walketh in vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. My vanity. Listen, dear friend, we can't walk in my vanity. Unless the Lord build the house, what the Bible says, we labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds my life, all that I have to offer, riches, good, athleticism, education, everything that I gain, we got to be like Paul. Paul said, all that I've gained, I count as dung. Paul didn't stand up and talk about how great of a person he was. He said, I am chiefest of sinners. Not that I was, I am chiefest of sinners. Dear friend, we can't walk around in vanity and say, look at me, look how I am, look at the things I do, and things that I've accomplished, and help me not to have such an attitude, but Lord, help me to decrease and help Christ to increase in my life. Then look at verse number 7. Verse 7 says, and now, Lord, wait what I for my hope. My hope is in thee. Lay hold of that hope. Some of you weren't around here. You know you're born again. You know you put trust in Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. And you allow the devil to wave you here and push you there and emotionally affect you there. Grab a hold of that hope. Listen, dear friend. You are in the hand of God if you're His child. And the hand of Christ. And no man can pluck you out. The Bible says that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. My hope. Yes, it's mine. But my hope, and what did it say? Is in thee. My hope is in thee. And then in verse 8 he said, my transgressions. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you something. It's about high time that we start owning the sins that we commit. Quit blaming them on our wife, our children, our pastor, our Sunday school teacher. Well, if the deacons were this way or that way, if the song leader did this, dear friend, you chose to do that. My transgressions, own them. And get them right if I confess and forsake them. He is faithful and just to forgive me. And I'm telling you, dear friend, when I walk up to him, Brother Paul, and I say, Lord, I am so sorry that I said that bad word the other day at work. I shouldn't have said that curse word. I was wrong. But my boss, dear friend, you ain't sorry. Yeah. Not sorry at all. You want a band-aid on something that is still bleeding. But you need to be a seer. Hot iron. Put on that, and the blood stopped, and you said, Lord, I am sorry. I lost it. I did that. I was at fault. Boy, he said, my transgressions. We need to learn to confess them things. Then look at verse 12. Verse 12, he says, hear my prayer. My prayer. You know, the Bible says that we're to pray without ceasing. Pray, you know, and I often wonder, a very small little verse there in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. And I wondered why. And I thought about it. I pondered. And then it says, don't have the appearance of evil. Right there with it. It's real close. Don't have the appearance. You know why we should pray without ceasing? Because we have the inapt ability to sin many times without ceasing. So, dear friend, we're praying and we're seeking God and we're talking to Him. Dear friend, our prayer life and our Bible reading and our time with God will keep us from sin. It'll keep us away from sin. We'll never be sinless. But, dear friend, my prayer, I want the Lord to hear my prayer. Remember we talked about prayer 3 weeks ago. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. My prayer. He says, my prayer, O Lord, give ear unto my cry. Oh, the tears. Oh, the tears. I wonder when the last time you wept for a lost loved one. When's the last time you wept over personal sin? When's the last time you wept over national sin? When's the last time you wept over the state of rejection of our nation to a holy and righteous God? My tears. Oh, God, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Look in Jeremiah chapter 9 real quick. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 1. I'm trying to get to the 2 points. All of this is introductory. I get to these 2 points, we'll be done real quick, I promise you. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse number 1. Jeremiah the prophet is known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, dear friend. Daily in our nation, babies dying. Daily. Oh, Lord, hear my prayers, but Lord, see my tears. This is verse 12. Look at verse 12 back there. He says, hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. Are you alienated from God? Are you a stranger from God? Are you not part of the heritage of the Lord? There's a way to fix that through Jesus Christ. Put faith and trust in Him and Him alone and be born again. Oh, dear friend, if you're saved and you still feel like a stranger, there's one thing that's happened. It's your sin and your iniquities that's stopped up his ear and shortened his hand, Isaiah says. Oh, don't be a stranger. Listen, dear friend, when we trust Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, we get to talk to God as our Father. Abba. Not as a stranger. The Bible teaches us in John that God knows our names. He said His sheep hear His voice and they follow Him. You don't have to feel like a stranger. Listen, there's no stepchildren in God's family. Oh, yeah, we've been grafted in. But when God looks at us and born again into the family of God, He looks at us through the eyes of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Don't feel like a stranger. Verse 13. Oh, spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. When are you going to be no more? Here on this earth. It's called eternity. Luke 16 said, a rich man and a beggar both died, and eternity, and as they knew life on this earth ended, and both of them went into eternity. Oh, strengthen me, then. Spare me, and I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. My eternity is at hand. You know, I'm not promised, Mark, to die. We've done covered all that. But if I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Lord Savior, to be absent from this body is to be present with Him. But if I don't know the Lord is my personal Lord and Savior, when I die, it just don't end. It just don't go away. There's a place called hell that is eternal. It's eternal. And so make a choice today what you're going to do with eternity and what you're going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be made today. It has to be made while you're alive. That decision that you make with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you're going to accept Him or reject Him, is done in this lifetime. Okay, remember I thought, that's all introduction. I gave you two statements last week. So if it's all mine, my sorrow, my mouth, my peace,